My name is Amy Baker. I've been on our counseling staff here close to 25 years, so if you've been here before, you've probably seen me around because I'm kind of a fixture here. They just can't seem to get rid of me. We're going to be starting tonight with understanding God's comfort. And let me just preface what I'm going to say by telling you that we do take seriously here the points of Scripture that women are not to be discerners of doctrine over men or be an authority over men. So I want to assure you that what I'm teaching tonight is because I've been asked to present this by my pastors, and they're overseeing what I do and are proving what I do. So I just wanted to make sure that we set the stage with that as we begin. Let's ask God to bless our time now, shall we? Lord, we come to you just so thankful that you created worship. Thank you that you give us the opportunity to just express in a variety of ways, Lord, how important you are and what you mean to us. Thank you that Titus has just led us in that opportunity, and I pray that that worship would not stop now that we're moving into the teaching part of our evening. I pray that we grow and that we would end our evening just so much in love with you that we can barely contain it, that it will be overflowing. Lord, a lot of these folks have traveled long ways today, so I just ask that you give grace, that you'd help them to concentrate, and that this session would be for your glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Let me just begin by giving you a summary sentence. If you get nothing else out of this session tonight, here it is, okay? God's comfort coming to God's people who love God's Son is so comforting that the comfort overflows. God's comfort coming to God's people who love God's Son is so comforting that the comfort overflows. Comfort. Comfort ye my people. I've heard that song sung many times as I've reveled in the music from Handel's Messiah. You probably have too. But how do you comfort the person whose daughter has prostituted herself for drugs? The parent whose son has just announced that he has AIDS from participating in a homosexual lifestyle? The person who's 59 years old and has been out of work for a year and a half after being laid off from his job. The mother who just miscarried her third child. The father who's just learned that his daughter is pregnant and the father is someone with a police record. The husband whose spouse has Alzheimer's. The child who's been sexually abused by her stepfather. How do we comfort them? What do we say? How do we make it better? What can possibly alleviate the brokenness felt by sufferers? In many of these situations, restoration isn't possible. Virginity can't be restored. AIDS can't be cured. Companies who laid off employees have gone out of business. Miscarried babies can't be brought back to life. Alzheimer's has no cure. Suffering has left an indelible mark. How do you comfort my people? Well, let's turn to a passage which is clearly about comfort and look for answers. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at 2 Corinthians 1, 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ, our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and your salvation. If we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so you also share in our comfort. Let's think about some truths that we find from this passage, which I think is clearly about comfort. Do you agree? This is a passage clearly about comfort. First of all, the God of all comfort provides comfort sufficient for all troubles. The God of all comfort provides comfort sufficient for all troubles. We saw that in verse 4. Nothing is exempt. This is not the one trouble for which there is no comfort. This tsunami, this earthquake, this suicide, this, you fill in the blank, doesn't fall outside the realm of God's comfort. Now, just take a moment and jot down a trial in your notes that you're facing now. Okay? Just jot down a trial. It can be I got stuck at the airport for 2 hours, or it can be something much more serious. Now, beside whatever you jotted down, please write, not exempt from God's comfort. Not exempt from God's comfort. The God of all comfort provides comfort sufficient for all troubles. Now, if I've received comfort from God, I can comfort others in any trouble. God gives us the opportunity to participate in comforting others. Now, the truth is, many of us feel ill-equipped, even reluctant to comfort others. How many of you look forward to going to funerals and finding something to say to the person who's grieving? You would say, that's just my thing. I love going to comfort others at funerals. Most of us don't, okay? My husband would tell you, I don't even know what to do with my hands in a situation like that. Most of us feel ill-equipped when it comes to comforting others, but God says, if I've received comfort from him, I can comfort others in any trouble with the comfort I've received. So we can comfort others whether we've had their trial or whether we've never experienced anything close to their trial. I don't have to have had a heart attack. I don't have to have been raped. I don't have to have been through a foreclosure. I don't have to have been orphaned at 8. I don't have to have had a mom who brought in a different live-in boyfriend every 6 months. I don't have to have been abused by my father. I don't have to be the family member of a victim of a mass shooting. I don't have to have been the parent of a prodigal child. If I've received comfort from God, I can comfort others in any trouble in my life. Why is that? Because it's God's comfort. It's not my comfort. It's God's comfort. And because it is God's comfort, I can comfort others in any trouble. Now, let's run that the other way. Working backwards, I dare not refuse comfort from others who bring me the salve of God's word and comfort simply because they haven't gone through what I'm facing. How often do we hear, well, you just don't understand? Worse, how often have we said it silently, if not out loud? You just don't understand. If I've received comfort from God, I can comfort others in any trouble with God's comfort. Now, let me just make sure that I give you balance here. We can certainly be insensitive in our use of God's word. No disputing that. We can use it in a wrong way. So we need to thoroughly understand point C. But before we go there, let's be careful not to refuse comfort when we ought to accept it. Now, point C. I'm not giving true comfort unless I'm communicating comfort from God. Let's think of some things that are intended to give comfort. They can be really right, they can be really wrong, okay? And I'm going to try to write a few of these down for us, okay? Some things that we've heard that are intended to give comfort. They can be really right, they can be wrong. What are some things we've heard? Food. All right, so we use food for comfort. What are some things that people have told us, intended to give us comfort?